Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, can something this small really throw my body off balance?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Fruit ruins insulin sensitivity.
Never eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs. Fast for 48 hours.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads. No fear, just your signal. Cygnos.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's talk about the optics of this trial and what has been created outside of the courtroom. The rabid people on, I'll say, both sides to a certain extent, that, you know, they're there, they're fighting for someone. Sometimes they don't even know them. Sometimes they're coming from other states, other countries to support Karen Reed. That seems to be what we've seen a lot of. And going to very extremes to show that support, harassing witnesses, trying to intimidate them, trying to push their narrative, you know, no matter what. It's been spooky. You have people, there are people in this trial or not in this trial who refuse to testify because they're intimidated. They don't want to be part of this. They don't want to go say what their account of the day was. Because if they do, and it goes against what narrative Karen has, you got the flying monkeys that are going to go after her. Is this going to become, you think, the new reality of a lot of cases where it's this side or that side and nobody is looking at the middle other than us?
We'll try.
Yeah, and because reality seems to be much more in the middle of these cases, but people like a group. People like a tribe. They want to belong to something. And it seems, you know, there's obviously huge obsessions. People, for whatever reason, really enjoy true crime, even if it's not part of their lives, and find some sort of, you know, group comfort in that. What is going on here? We didn't see this in a lot of other trials, unless it's like Michael Jackson or somebody really big, OJ, that was well known. Karen is nobody, but somehow she's become somebody because of this case and because of the vitriol that goes on around this. How did this come to be the way it is? What was going on in the psyche of all of these people that allowed them to go from otherwise fairly normal folks to now camping out in front of a court in every day and the rest of their life be damned? What is happening here?
It's I think, largely fueled by the power of the internet. Again, Karen is an attractive woman. She's appealing. And once it starts going viral online, people like to divide up into two camps. I mean, my God, we see this with our political system and the polarization. There's no ability to meet in the middle and be reasonable and try to look at, you know, data and evidence and talk things through and try to come up with something that's, you know, probably plausible. People like to take sides, and they find this sense of identity and camaraderie with, yay, our team. It's just like it's a sports team.
Yeah.
And it's pretty emotionally driven. It's not very logical. But it's definitely, I don't think, helpful in this case. I think it muddies the waters, and then you end up with witnesses being intimidated and attacked and, you know, really awful behavior.
Is that just a product of our times and the way that we develop now, essentially? I mean, we've never been in a world where we have what we have. We have generations now that... No, we've had social media for quite some time, and you go through different phases of life and different years where, you know, your opinion is forming this way or that way. And I'm not just talking childhood. I'm talking 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever. Sure. Anybody who, you know, things change, opinions change, people change. But is it because we're in such an insular society now, even though we're able to communicate far wider and reacher than we ever have in the past, but we've seemed to become far more ingrained in our little groups than we have in the past, that this is happening? It's not just for your college sports team anymore or your NFL team or whatever. It's things like this that people are finding those sort of communities. And is it because there's no... It's just a loop. It's just a feedback loop. You aren't out there having, people are not having face-to-face conversations with people that matter to them. They're hearing it from strangers, and they're getting weight on it and thinking that it really matters. Where in the past, you could talk to your friends and you could hear a differing opinion and it made you think a little bit. You go, oh, you know, okay. Is that what's going on? Is that why we're able, why things like this are getting the attention they're getting with such vitriol than we had in the past? And there's not a lot of introspection of any of these things?
Yeah, I think people find their echo chambers online. And when you go into one, you know, let's say YouTube community, one blogging community, and you find the same kind of people saying the same thing over and over and over again, it normalizes that story for you. And then it becomes everybody who doesn't buy into our story. It's that us and them dynamic. And rather than anybody trying to say, let's have a reasonable conversation and look at all the sides here, it's the echo chamber that people find online, I think, that just fuels this and makes it take off into something that's kind of ugly.
You know, we talked about delusional disorder when we were talking about Daybell. Is this kind of like that? Because you can get, you can hear from these people, I hear from them all the time, on both sides of this case specifically. And I'm kind of in the middle of all of this, where, like, I can see arguments on this side, I can see arguments on that side. I don't think either side really makes a ton of sense. I think it's somewhere in the middle where we don't really know the true answers. I don't think anyone will ever really know the true answers. But a lot of people don't even want to see that. They don't want to look at it from, because it's not as exciting. It's not as, you know, sexy. And you can't quite get behind something that doesn't have the excitement that it's been presenting to you, because reality is usually a little bit more in the middle, a little more muted. I don't even know what my question is on this, but it's just a weird way of looking at things where balance seems to be out the window, but each side views themselves as being the balanced one.
Exactly.
Is that a version of delusion where you can't see anything beyond the trees? I mean, just like Lori Vallow kind of did?
It's a really good question. It's not delusional disorder because it's not strange. Either side, as you say, there are plausible aspects to it. Is it possible that there was a fight and you know, John was murdered? Okay, that's not bizarre. Now, if you said an alien came down and did it, that would be more in the realm of a delusion. And it's also quite possible that Karen was so intoxicated, she clipped him and has no memory of it. That's plausible. That's possible too. Is it, you know, one of the speculations was because she was angry at him, did she intentionally run into him with her car? That's possible. You know, so I wouldn't say it's delusional, But it's more just this, you know, we've got a story and we're sticking to it. And it's like this us versus them now. And we want our side to win.
Does delusional disorder have to involve something that's, for lack of a better term, paranormal? Something like an alien, something like a ghost or God's talking to me or whatever it may be. Does it have to go down that road?
It's something that I think any reasonable person would look at and say, that can't be true. Mm-hmm. That can't be true. You know, the Catholic hospital euthanizing a bunch of people and getting away with that for decades. Okay, that's just in the bizarre category. Mm-hmm. So it's something that any of us would look at and go, no, that's wacky.
But what about this? Because there's elements of this where you go, okay, you know, evidence could be planted. I know the independent review found no evidence of it, et cetera, et cetera. They found out that it wasn't the best investigation, and that's clearly obvious. But the concept here that you have countless people, a lot of people, kids, everybody being in on this conspiracy, and they're planning it on the fly too. It's not like they're sitting there for weeks going, okay, John's going to come in, we're going to beat him up and we're going to all have this story and nobody's going to break, nobody's going to crack, and we're all going to follow through it with it, you know, till the end of time. Number one, conspiracies don't work a lot of times because there's too many people involved and somebody's going to crack, somebody's going to slip something up. This story of the house and getting beat up and everybody still following and towing the line seems ridiculous, I think, to a lot of people. I'm not to say that there wasn't crooked cops here and that there wasn't weight being put on the scale to try and go after Karen Reed heavier than they needed to. I think that that's going on. But this concept of all of these people being involved in this conspiracy and nobody's going to say anything different, that goes beyond, it was to be the best conspiracy in the world, if in fact it is true. That seems to be a bit out there. I mean, not to the level of aliens are coming down and struck John, but to have all of these things work out this perfectly and it was planned on the fly. What is that?
Yeah. Conspiracy thinking. We see so much conspiracy thinking and it's not grounded. You know, you can look at it and say, this really isn't grounded in reality, but could it feasibly have happened? Sure. Could have. We've heard weird stories before. Again, just going to politics, weird things happen and it's kind of hard to believe and wrap our heads around. It's like, who would think of something so stupid, you know? Mm-hmm. But the conspiracy mindset, it does give people the sense of, well, we've got the special information. Mm-hmm. We know the truth. And so that's kind of ego boosting for them. And then we're in the club with all the cool kids who know what's really going on here. So it's kind of emotional thinking rather than logic.
And in this case, they really kind of set it up to make the conspiracy somewhat believable. I mean, there's so many weird aspects of this case that are shady on the part of the officers.
100%.
I mean, take, for example, everybody's getting rid of their phones at the same time. And they're not trading them in. I mean, the iPhones are worth money. Doesn't matter how old it is. Everybody knows this. You trade it in, you get some money back, you save some money, whatever. Maybe get your phone for free. They're throwing them in dumpsters. One of them's on an army base, chucking his phone and destroying the SIM cards and all of that stuff. Like, what is that? I mean, were they that oblivious to thinking that, hey, if this gets investigated, and even though they knew it was being investigated, that no one's going to look at this and go, that looks a little conspiratorial. That looks like you're trying to hide something.
Exactly.
Is that just idiots out there not thinking one step ahead of anything? Or I mean, that to me blows my mind of just if they didn't beat them up in the house, and I don't think they did. Why would you do these things that make you look like what people are going to be accusing you of is true? That to me has blown my mind on this case.
Yeah, it's another weird aspect to why we can say, okay, well, there is something that looks fishy there. And of course, Detective Proctor's horrendous behavior. Yeah. I mean, it looks like they were out to get her, you know, from the beginning. And it's... it's just one of these really messy, awful cases that we'll probably never really know exactly what happened.
Obviously, we're going to be talking about this case and its developments over the next few weeks as it continues forward. But early on, with what we know right now, the direction that we can kind of see this going, where do you think it's going to end up? Are we going to get a guilty verdict? Are we going to get kind of a mixed on some of the charges? Are we going to get, you know, completely exonerated? Or are we going to get another hung jury at the end of the day? What's your guess?
Oh, I tell you, that's I can't even call it, because I certainly couldn't vote guilty. That's all I'll say, is I just don't think we have enough information.
Sure.
Something happened. There were a lot of drunk people, and we'll never know exactly. But could I convict her beyond a reasonable doubt? I could not.
On any of the charges, even manslaughter?
I don't think I could.
Yeah.
Just because we don't. We just don't. I would need a lot more evidence than what I've seen.
I agree. I don't think you have. I think there's enough reasonable doubt on every single charge that you just can't prove it. I think it's likely that she probably hit him, but I don't think you can prove it. And at the end of the day, it's not about likely. It's about, is there reasonable doubt? Can you prove this? And it's not that I believe the conspiracy, but I just don't think there's the evidence. And that's,
You and I think alike on that.
We'll see where it ends.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, can something this small really throw my body off balance? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism. A drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Fruit ruins insulin sensitivity.
Never eat after 7 p.m.
You gotta cut carbs for 30 days.
Oh, we know.
Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Signos.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice, and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.